You guys can start opening your Bibles to James chapter 1 this morning. Whether you brought a physical Bible or you have your phones or your tablets or other devices for a digital Bible, that's okay. There's something about physical Bibles, though, that I just love writing in there to where we see things pop back at us months or years down the road when we see it. We also have the verses on the screen. But it's always good to see it in person as well. So this time of year, we definitely always see that there is a lot going on. There are a lot of family get-togethers happening already. Fall decorations got pulled down. Christmas decorations got put up. School programs start happening. You start having band concerts for Christmas. And if you didn't do it before now, you have Christmas present shopping that's still sometimes can be more difficult. But there's a lot of things going on for sure. But amongst all the busyness, there are things that we end up missing. Stuff starts to become distractions for us. Sometimes there's so much to do that it's hard to keep things straight. Quite often we end up forgetting things. We don't intend to, but we end up doing it. We want to get the plow markers out, but the ground is already frozen, and then it's no fun to try to get it in the ground. We start the eggs boiling, and then we end up forgetting about them, and then you have those green yolks that nobody really cares for. Everything starts competing for our attention the busier we get. It's all saying, look here, or listen to this. A lot of things are getting louder. It's all trying to drown out the voice of God in our lives. But here's the good news, is we do know His voice, and we can hear Him. We hear Him because He does speak to His people. But the response to that word is up to us. We hear Him say something and go, oh yeah, I should write that down. But then we end up not doing it. Or we do end up writing it down, but then we never go back to it after we write it down. God wants us to pay attention to Him and to remember what He has said. We're definitely into the Christmas season now. The prophets foretold the coming of Christ. It all pointed to Jesus coming on the earth, how a virgin would be the one to give birth to the Messiah. It's good to remember the words that He said to us both back then and here today. But then there's an expectation out of us for what to do when we hear those words as well. So we pick up in James chapter 1 in verse 22, where he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. God wants us to do what it is that He says. He wants us to recognize and embrace what it is that He is wanting. God speaks to His people. He gives us instructions. He tells us what it is that He wants. Sometimes we forget, though, what God has told us. Sometimes we hear the word, but then don't focus on it afterwards. We don't embrace how much He wants to tell us something specifically. We don't embrace what He sees in those words. We're meant to take those words and do something with them. We should value those words that He says. James is talking about being doers of the word. There in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He recognizes that it's not just hearing the word. It's not just reading the word. God speaks to us all in different ways, He tells us some things when we read our Bible, when we read His Word. Sometimes it's when we're doing something, going about our business, and God shows us something. You know, a couple of weeks ago I was talking about there with digging up tree stumps and how God was showing me stuff about roots constantly the whole time that I was digging. Sometimes it's in our prayer time and He reveals His desire. So the word here, it can either be something that's written or a spoken word to us. God is faithful to tell us things. He's wonderful to show us those things. It's a two-way relationship that He desires to have with us. See, God doesn't tell us something just so that we can keep it a secret. He wants us to do something with what He's given us. He wants us to act upon it. He wants us to put feet to our faith. You know, James continues that whole thought in chapter 2 where he talks about how faith and works go hand in hand together. How faith without the works is dead. How faith should spill over to our works. See, if God's word doesn't make sense to us at the time, that's quite all right. You still press into it. You still hope for whatever it is that He's telling. You don't put it on the shelf. You release it out into the atmosphere. You decree it into the spiritual realm. See, acting on the words we receive from God embraces the relationship we have with Him. If we don't embrace the words, we don't partake back in the relationship. We deceive ourselves if we just hear the words and not grab a hold of them. God's put it right in front of us. But God's word is conditional on our response to it. Think for a minute here about Jonah. When you hear the name Jonah, you probably, most of you think about the story of Jonah and the fish. And how he was inside the fish for 3 days. But there's so much more to the story than that. See, Jonah was sent to pronounce judgment on Nineveh. He was sent to cry out against the city. Now, we don't know exactly what Jonah told Nineveh word for word. But based on Jonah's response, I don't think it was crying for them to repent. And Jonah certainly didn't expect them to repent. It seemed more that he was to let them know that in 40 days that God would destroy their city. But the people believed the words of God. They repented. They proclaimed a fast. They changed as a nation. You see how things were both conditional for Jonah's response as well as for the city of Nineveh's response. Jonah was sent by God, but he didn't want to go and do what he had said. Nineveh was a wicked city. They had heard the word of God, but they acted upon it with a repentant heart. God wants us to desire Him. He wants us to pursue Him. That relationship with God goes both ways. He's constantly chasing after us, but He wants us to respond for Him. Sometimes we think of that relationship and we think of Him speaking to us, and we feel good about it. But we miss out and we deceive ourselves for what that relationship is meant to be. He continued in verses 23 and 24, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." See, God is the one to shape us. He molds us into His image. So we should recognize what we look like. The word observe that's used here actually means much more than just looking at. It's actually to study intently, to fix one's eyes or mind upon, to observe every little detail, to give attention to. study and study and study to where you know just the right number of hairs on this side before it parts. You observe and you see the shape of the nose. You know exactly what shade of color the eyes are. But then when you walk away, you completely forget what it is that you just saw. He observed all that about his face for nothing. He looked at the detail without literally sinking in to where he can know for sure what it was. That's what it's saying about hearing God's word and not doing it is like. See, God's word is our mirror. It's what shapes us. It's what molds us. It's what defines us in who we are. God's word is not just for us to look at. It's for us to allow God to show us what he wants us to do with what it is that he's showing us at the time. Reading our Bibles is not something we should do just because it makes you a good Christian. Reading our Bibles is intended to remind us of what God's words are to his people. If God says it, he will do it. That's why worry and fear have no part in being a believer. Because when we see God's promises, we are comforted and we can tell that worry and fear to go. We see where God's word says that he has given us authority over all the power of the enemy, so we can use that authority. He wants us to recognize what he said and do it. It helps us in the time of need, because that is who God is. You know, during worship, we looked at who God is to us, without Sean even really knowing what we were going to be talking about. We looked at God being our healer. We looked at God being our comforter, light. That's taken who God says he is and recognizing it in our very lives. God doesn't want us to read our Bible, set it down and say, well, that was fun. Or to read it, put it down and go, check, I did my daily Bible reading. No, it's tended to be purposeful, not legalistic. So we let God speak to us as we read it. And then once we hear from God, we ask him, what is it that you want to do with what this says? God doesn't want us to forget what we're reading. He wants us to embrace. He wants us to actively pursue his words. He doesn't want us to forget who we are in it. If we read our Bibles, or if we pray, and we hear from God, we shouldn't take that lightly. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to act on what it is that he says. Hearing it is not enough. God wants us to do it as well. Hearing a sermon does nothing if we don't allow it to go deep into our hearts. Reading the word does nothing if we don't allow it to sink in. Hearing a prophetic word through someone else doesn't do anything either if we don't allow it to change us. Hearing from God himself has lost its purpose if it doesn't result in action on our part. We must pursue God's words. We must act on them. God's desire is for us to do exactly that. That's exactly what James continues saying in verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. When we continue in God's instructions, look out. We've observed it, but we must be purposeful in remaining in it. There are all kinds of things that want to take our attention, all kinds of things that want to pull our focus away, but we must remain in what God has told us. See, if we put something aside, it usually stays put aside. It's like putting stuff in the junk drawer at the house. We've all got one. You know what? You don't know what to do with it, so you just put it in there. You'll get it out if you ever need it. Stuff goes in, but then you immediately forget about it. Not intentionally, but you put it out of sight, out of mind. We have to be mindful of what it is we do with the words that God tells us. When something jumps out at us while we're reading, that's God speaking to us. When we hear a sermon where it's been wrestled with before God, and something leaps in your spirit, man, that's God speaking to us. When the prophetic comes forth, that's God wanting to have that relationship with us. And that's where God's heart is. It's in the relationship that He desires to have with us. Not to be pushed to the side, but to be at the very focus of it. He wants us to desire Him. And out of that desire, we continue to focus on Him. He is faithful to be there, even if we get distracted and then come back to Him. But His intent was for us to not leave in the first place. He wants us to pay attention to what it is that He's saying. He wants us to not tune Him out. He doesn't want us to blow Him off. He is faithful to be there. In fact, verse 22 starts with the word, but. Now, those of you that have been at New Life, you know the way that my mind starts working. When I see certain words, I always look back to see what those verses are talking about, what they're referencing, or what's going on around it. So when I see the word, but, starting out in verse 22, I go to the chapter or the verse before that. Verse 21 starts with word therefore. So since I see therefore, I look at the before. So I go back to the previous paragraph in verse 19, and I see so then. So I keep going back, I end up clear back at verse 12. So in James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. These verses we just read are all dealing with enduring temptation. That's what it's pushing it back to. You know, the heading in the New King James translation says, loving God under trials. The warning in these verses are a counter-tactic to the trials that we fall into. When we hear it and do it, it allows us to love God no matter what. When we hear and do, some of the hardships we find ourselves in will disappear. Sometimes because we brought them on ourselves. Now, I'm not going to say that if you follow God, all of our troubles go away. If you've been a Christian, you know the storms still come. And there will be trials that we see, but we're reminded that the greatest person in the world is going through them with us. God is always there with us. But sometimes we get ourselves into the predicament and then try to blame the enemy for it. I seem to remember the Bible saying that we have self-control. Now, I know I heard self-control, but I didn't have that self-control when I grabbed a pumpkin cheesecake bar after already having a peanut butter pie slice and some dirt pudding on Thursday. I don't have the enemy to blame for the extra pounds that I gained from this last week. It was my choice. But being a hearer and doer not only helps us from finding ourselves in a more difficult situation, it gives us instructions to follow as we go through things. You know, Thursday was Thanksgiving. And when we think of Thanksgiving, sometimes you think of 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says, in everything give thanks. It does not say, for everything give thanks. So I thank God for His nature. I thank God for His promises. I thank God for His comfort, for His wisdom on what to do next. Actually, let's look at that briefly real quick. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In verse 19, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. See, Paul echoes the same words as James. He says to let Holy Spirit burn in our lives. He says not to despise the prophecies, but rather embrace God's words. To test all things and to hold on to what is good. To do what is good. To abstain from every form of evil. God's desire is for us to remain in Him. He wants us to recognize Him and His nature in it all. He doesn't want to be placed on the shelf. He doesn't want something valuable that He's given us to end up in the junk drawer. He wants to be front and center in our lives. He wants us to pursue Him even when it's not convenient for us. He wants radically obedient people to rise up and stand strong in the faith. He wants us to be obedient when it's not popular because we desire Him more than anything else. It's not about us, it's about Him. We've been made in God's image. We're a mirror to reflect His glory, to reflect His nature, His relationship. We should be reflecting our relationship with Christ here in Rochester. That is His desire. That's His plan. He started it all in the garden with Adam and Eve. And they were intended to have a full relationship with God. But out of their disobedience, they were separated from Him. That's why He sent Jesus here to the earth. It's only through His death and resurrection that we're able to be restored into the relationship with God. And that's already happened. So we have the opportunity to be restored into that relationship. But we have to do our part in faith. And out of that faith in Jesus, being who He says He is, we have the opportunity to enter into that relationship with Him. But it's a personal relationship with Him. We're the only ones that can decide to have that relationship. We're the only ones to decide if we desire that relationship. Let's build a little flavor reading James 1, 22 through 25 out of the Message paraphrase this morning. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word of God go, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are, what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or a woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. In one ear and out the other is not the way God designed it. He wants it to land straight in our hearts. He wants it to take roots and to birth a desire for hearing and carrying out what He is saying. There is joy in carrying out what He is saying. There's joy in the relationship. We must act on what we hear. We must press into what He is saying. If it's unclear, we pray about it. and we press in to hear the answer. God will reveal it. Christmas time is coming up. We reflect on Jesus' birth. But the people of Israel, they recognized and hoped for the Messiah to come. They embraced the prophecies from Isaiah and all the prophets. They believed that he would come. So they were looking. They were hoping. They were encouraging one another while the Romans were occupying their land. They didn't give up on God's words. If God says it, he will do it. But our faith must partner with his word. It might be stepping out in faith, doing an act that you normally wouldn't be comfortable with, talking with someone that you wouldn't normally talk to. It might be giving in a way you've never given before. You never know what God might ask of us. But it takes doing what he said. So open our ears, open our eyes, hear what God is saying, and let's resolve in our hearts to do what it is he's asking us to do. I see a room of radically obedient people this morning. You're capable of far more than you expect. God has equipped you and strengthened you. You're valuable to the kingdom. You're dangerous to the enemy. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. We are children of God. God's promises to us are throughout his word. God wants us to study and observe them. He wants us to be fully aware of who we are, not forgetting 2 minutes later. We embrace the prophetic and press into the words given. We embrace whatever it is God has planned. We cherish his words to us. We're not just hearers of his word, but we're doers also. All hearts clear? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you that you are a personal God. Lord, we thank you that you are ever present in our relationship with you, God. Lord, give us an increased awareness of your presence. Lord, we thank you for the great things that you have planned. Lord, we thank you for the great things that you ask of us, God. Lord, let us not lose sight of your words. Lord, help us be doers of your word. Lord, help us not put anything on the shelf. Help us not put anything in the junk drawer, God. It is certainly anything but that. Lord, help us put it ever present in our lives. Help us put it right at the center of what it is that you have in front of us. Lord, we pray for wisdom as we go about this Christmas season. Lord, give us understanding of who it is that you want us to talk to. Lord, give us understanding of who you might have put in our path. We thank you for those divine appointments that you have planned. Lord, help us reflect who you are back out to those around us. Lord, we thank you for your love that you show for us, God. Lord, we thank you for the love that you have for all people as well. Let us reflect who you are. We thank you, God. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.